Shoot, 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 shoot. Get the gun. Get the gun. Shoot, 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 shoot.
This was the scene tonight outside the auditorium before the concert, where Ozzy Osbourne fans poured out to see the stage attraction known for biting the heads off live birds and other strange antics.
This is the time, this is the world to see.
But tonight Ozzy Osbourne also attracted people turned off by what they call a traveling freak show. 25 young men flew in from Philadelphia today to protest the Osbourne show and the effect it has on young people. The group called Teen Challenge is a Christian drug alcohol rejuvenation group opposed to Satanism.
He's going to sacrifice an animal, sacrifice on today, Good Friday, the day of God's day. He's going to sacrifice and serve Satan. That's why we are here to share the love of God.
What do you think of Ozzy Osbourne?
I think he worships the devil, that's what I think.
People expect you to like bite the heads off things every day they see you. All I did was go out there and make a mistake of biting a head off a bat.
I also heard that there was a story of you urinating on the Alamo. I wonder if you could fill us in on the details of that.
Based on the Alamo, yeah.
They said that it's very unpleasant that I hang a midget in the show. And I said, well, why are you saying that it's unpleasant that I hang a midget? Do you think I have a truckload of midgets and I hang one a night, you know? And they said, well, no, but we think the effigy of hanging a midget is in bad taste. And I said, well, the midget isn't a guy I picked off the street. He's a professional stuntman. He's a film actor. He's just done a film with Blade Runner where he gets shot, you know? And it's his profession, it's his job. It's like if it was a paper hanger, would it be... in bad taste to have a midget paper in my wall in my house, you know? Because he's a human being, he is alive, he has got everything that anyone, normal person, but the only thing difference is they're that much smaller.
Before I go on the stage, put it this way, I don't need to take any laxatives before I go on stage.
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, I'm BJ, and back again with my good friend Brian Sword. Hey, Brian.
Hey, BJ, happy to be back. Always a thrill.
And this is the best of Ozzy. And this is the worst of Ozzy episode. I'll leave that in now that you laughed instead of editing it. So we haven't done one in a while. So it's good to be back to doing a worst of episode. And this is, we're doing worst of Ozzy in the 80s because as we've learned on a lot of these worst of episodes, you gotta limit it or else, you know, because if my worst of Ozzy's entire career is all gonna be from one or two albums and they're late in the career, so
yeah, his last couple of records, there's so much unlistenable shit that's worse than anything off the first five records that we have to eliminate a bunch to get down to the best stuff, otherwise there's no point in doing this exercise.
It makes it more challenging and more fun and more interesting and all of that. But what's interesting about Ozzy Osbourne in the 80s is I like almost every song. I really like these albums, all of them. And
me too.
And Ozzy was one of my early favorites. He was one of my uncle's favorites. And, you know, so I've been listening to these records for my whole life practically. And I love them. So... So I actually end up picking a couple songs that I actually like, you know, even though I picked them as the worst Ozzy songs of the 80s because, you know, there aren't five Ozzy songs from the 80s that I would say I would say suck, you know, at least for me.
Oh, totally.
So
yeah,
I
usually this is a very easy exercise for me.
Yeah.
I could just, that one, they're all terrible. But on this one, I had instant two. I knew my number one and two before I even started. Then I had to sit down and listen through them all and be, you know, and actually think about it. But this one was hard for me too, because I'm a fan of this stuff. It's really easy for me to, you know, shit on the Beatles where I'm like, yeah, I like some of the stuff, but I'm not a huge Beatles fan. So it's kind of fun to piss people off in that sense. But this stuff I actually really love. So I had to work for it.
And how crazy is it that Ozzy's albums in the 80s were so great? I mean, I did an episode about Black Sabbath in the 80s with Craig Cohen, and I, when I was, you know, putting my notes together for that episode, I started thinking about something I'd never really thought about before, which is how, you know, Black Sabbath, they get Dio, they make this awesome album, they come out with this record, they're, you know, they're the reinvented Black Sabbath, and all of a sudden, that fucking Ozzy Osbourne comes out of nowhere and just completely upstages them. Yeah. Out of, and they must have been so fucking flabbergasted. The guys from Sabbath must have been, how the hell did how did he pull it off? They must have been completely bewildered. I could only imagine what they were thinking, you know?
This guy can't even tie his own shoes.
I know.
And he's made this brilliant album off the bat.
They must have been so stunned. They must have thought he was gone forever. They must have been like, that guy is,
you
know.
Just see them laughing, you know. You just imagine them all sitting around having beers laughing when they got rid of Ozzy. Ah, he's fucked. Never see him again. Yeah.
And then here he comes and just completely overshadows them. Just completely, you know, obliterates them. They made such great records with Dio too, but they were just completely overshadowed in every way by Ozzy. He even comes out with a live album of Sabbath songs and sells more records than them, you know? It was
right?
It was nuts. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, obviously hooking up with Randy Rhoads and moving from there. And, you know, Bob Daisley helped him out a lot and stuff, but still.
I think Bob Daisley is the key to this.
Yeah.
He's a constant thread. All these guitar player changes. And there's always Bob that's always kind of making sure the songs are there. I don't think he gets enough credit for this.
No. Yeah. No, I mean, but he says that Ozzy would come up with the melodies, though. But
yep.
Still, though, it's a lot of work to fit words to a melody. It's not easy, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I've had Bob Daisley on my own show, and he gave me shit legendarily. It was amazing because I had this interview with Max Norman, who produced it, and we were talking about how Ozzy Osbourne doesn't get enough credit for the fact that he came up with the vocal melodies and how important that is. And especially me being less of a lyrics guy, you know, and Bob Daisley came on and gave me shit for it, which was pretty amazing. But still, you can't discount having Bob Daisley there to do the final crafting of these songs to make sure they're up to snuff. And I really think he played a big part.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not just trying to make peace with him.
Yeah, because we know you're listening, Bob. All right, well, my number five, like I said, some of these songs I actually like, even though I'm picking them as the worst. But this song, I don't like the chorus. So it has cool riffs, and I like the verse a lot, but I just think the chorus is a dud. It's Rock and Roll Rebel from Bark at the Moon. It's just not a great chorus, you know, but I like the rest of the song.
It's true.
Yeah. So that's the only reason it's on here, you know, but,
I couldn't include this song cause I like the music too much, but I don't disagree that it is a weak chorus.
But we were just talking about Bob Daisley and the lyrics in this song. So there's this awesome two lines. It says, "The ministry of truth that deals with pretense, the ministry of peace that sits on defense." And it's so sits on defense, but also sitting on the fence, you know, like the idiom, like,
right,
like lack of decisiveness, you know, hesitance. So I love that play on words, the ministry of peace that sits on defense, but it's also sitting on the fence. That's great. That is, you know, that's poetry. That is really great lyric writing right there. I love that. So
when we did the Best of Creed, and we talked about the difference between like an actual smart person and somebody trying really hard to sound like a smart person.
Right.
Okay. Compare that to Creed lyrics.
Right.
And you've got, you know, Bob Daisley, an actual smart person.
Right.
Writing smart lyrics.
Yeah. Those are great lyrics. But it's in my worst of Ozzy list. So there you go. Which just goes to show that great lyrics still can't save a song, you know, that the.
Yeah, without a chorus.
It's all these different elements, but yeah, without a great chorus. Yep.
We'll be right back.
All right. I have a feeling this song is going to piss you off, actually. So my number five is off Diary. It's called Little Dolls. And for me, this one, it's like 5.5 minutes long, and it's just nothing really sticks with me. This one, I don't really find anything terribly memorable. All kinds of different parts. So it's very ambitious, but I don't really like it.
Well, my number four is Little Dolls. Yeah, that song's just kind of got a generic Ozzy verse that sounds like everything else. And also like an awkward transition into the chorus is my take on it. So it doesn't really, the arrangement doesn't really work. You know, all the pieces don't really fit together that well. So like you said, ambitious, but then it falls
just
short.
Doesn't come together. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one that I thought of, you know, it's one that I thought of kind of right away because I just always thought, you know, those first two albums are so great. And that's one that kind of stands out as just not being quite as good as the rest. So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So my number four is Crazy Babies. When that album, the first album with Zach came out and they had Miracle Man, I thought that song was awesome. Yeah. I thought the video was awesome. It was freaking brilliant. And I, you know, like I was a big Jakey Lee fan, still am. And then here's this kid. And I'm like, okay, this is great. Then the next video, Crazy Babies, and Ozzy's little kids are in the video. And it's a really simple, lazy riff. Like, it's nothing. And then stupid lyrics. It's a terrible song. And that video really did not help the matter either.
Yeah, that song is coming up later on my list. So,
I'm glad I went first.
We'll get around to it later. Okay, so my number, are we up to my number three? Was that, wait, where are we? Was that your number four?
You're up.
Oh, yeah, I started.
That was my number four.
Yeah my number three is called S-A-T-O. And
really?
Well, my main thing is, what the hell is happening with the drums on this song? The drums are insane. They're so distracting. The drums ruin it for me because, oh my God, the drums are so weird on this song. It's real. They're really fucking crazy. I don't understand what's happening with the drums.
Wow, nice. Good
they're
one.
They're so distracting.
That's going to piss people off.
Do you know where the title comes from? S-A-T-O?
No idea.
Sharon no idea. Arden and then Ozzy's first wife, Thelma Osborne.
Oh, my.
It's the initials of his two wives. The song was called Strange Voyage. Bob Daisley named it Strange Voyage, but they changed it after he was out of the band, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. And he wrote the song. It was inspired by... Here. The introspective lyric was inspired by a letter written by a Buddhist monk in 1261. The letter was called... A ship to cross the sea of suffering. And so he based it on that. Well, I mean, they call it a letter, but it sounds like it was like poetry or I don't know. But he based it on that and called it Strange Voyage. And then when he left the band, was he kicked out of the band? Were him and Lee Kirst like kicked out?
Yeah, I think they were kicked out. Yeah.
So I guess after the album was recorded, but before it came out, they were kicked out. And then they changed the title of the song for some reason. To the initials of Ozzy's wives. So there you go.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so my number three from The Ultimate Sin, which is an album that gets a lot of shit, but I just think that musically Jakey Lee is so great on it that I'm very forgiving of this album.
I like it.
But
yeah.
But I cannot be forgiving for the song Never Know Why.
I knew it. I knew you were going to.
Because of the lyrics. If you talk about a chorus killing a song, it's just like, come on, seriously. That's so weak. Like, it's about the dumbest lyrics ever. Like, yeah. So Jay can't even save it. When it's that, like, I've always said, like, I'm not terribly a lyrics guy, but I appreciate it when it's really good. And I get really angry when it's absolutely terrible. Anything in the middle, I'm pretty neutral on. I'm okay. But man, these ones just stand out as being really weak.
Yeah, that would definitely be in my top 10. I mean, that's definitely one of the weaker songs from the 80s Ozzy stuff, but it didn't make my list. I like it, you know. But we rock. You'll never know why we rock.
Right? He's basically saying nothing. He's just kind of burping into the microphone.
Well, it was always weird because that song, isn't it right before or right after a song called Never? Like, they're right in a row. Never, yeah. And then Never Know Why, right? Never's an awesome song.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, my number two is also from The Ultimate Sin, but it's called Thank God for the Bomb, which, like Rock and Roll Rebel, has a decent verse, but the chorus just totally sucks.
A little chant after the chorus?
Yeah, I wrote the transition from the chorus back into the riff is kind of awkward. Like, just when they put the parts together, it doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't.
And also,
it's not on my list, but I don't blame you.
Yeah. And, like, you know, the nuclear annihilation, like, Cold War theme was by, what year is this, 87? By, you know, it's
86,
already,
I think?
It's already so played out. Like, heavy metal, like, it is such a cliche for heavy metal songs to be about, you know, nuclear annihilation. It seems like Ozzy was kind of late to the party. And then there's two songs about it on Ultimate Sin, right?
Okay, so my number two. Wow, yeah, this is from the first record. It's the only filler on the first album, No Bone Movies.
I knew it. I knew you were going to
hate
pick that
fucking song. It's the only song that's like an instant skip. I think every other song on that album's great, but that one.
I actually thought of that song, and I went back. I went and listened to it. I always liked it since I was a kid, you know. But I do admit that it doesn't fit very well on the record, and it's not a great song, but I have always liked it. So I didn't, it didn't make my list, but it did come to mind, you know.
That was one of the first ones, like I said, there was the top two I didn't even have to think about. I knew what they were, and so that was always going to be a number two song.
But I also thought that I bet you were going to pick that. that definitely came to mind.
Because that means that deep down, you know that song sucks, but you have, like, you grew up with it, so you got these fond memories, so you're giving it a pass, but you know it sucks because you knew I was going to choose it.
I could definitely understand someone saying it sucks. It's totally got, like, a 70s rock. It's a 70s rock song on an 80s totally metal album. That's what's weird about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, my number one is Crazy Babies, which you already mentioned.
Ah!
And No Rest for the Wicked is awesome, except for this stupid song. I love that album. But this song is so fucking bad. The chorus is just complete garbage. Walk that walk. Talk that talk. That is awful. I mean, this for me, this was no contest. Worst Ozzy song of the 80s. And I love this record. Yeah, like you said, when Miracle Man came out, I mean, how awesome is that song? So,
yeah, brilliant.
And, you know, I like every other song on this record. Like, when I was looking at it.
And some of the deep tracks are great.
Yeah.
And this was a single.
I know. It's such a stupid song. So dumb and idiotic. It's just ridiculous. It's almost like a novelty song. And you're just like, what were they thinking? What were they doing? They're just trying to have a hit, I think. It's like, maybe if we put this stupid catchy, you know, it's not even catchy, but it's like, it'll get people's attention. They'll remember
it.
No,
I don't think it was that thought out.
Yeah,
no, I think he wanted to make a music video with his kids. He wrote it about his kids. He wanted to put him in a music video. Simple as that.
So bad.
Crazy Babies never say die. Born to live on a permanent high, flying high above the world below. They'd better come down soon, or everyone will know just why. Nobody's gonna change them. They've gone over the top. Nobody's gonna tame them. They're never gonna stop. Walk that walk, talk that talk, walk that walk, talk that talk.
So I remember being, whenever a kid, early teenager, and, you know, music videos, and I would always record them on VHS and stuff, because I lived way up in Northern Ontario, so we didn't get like MTV or anything, so we would get like these half-hour music shows, video shows, and we'd record them every week, and that was our little fix. And I remember the first time I saw the video for So Tired, I was like, what is this? This is terrible. I cannot describe how much I hate this song. I hated it when I was a kid, and I hate it now. I hate the song. I hate the video. I hate all of it. It's terrible.
There was no doubt
this was my number one song. Yeah. I figured you would. You like weird stuff, but this song is shit.
Those Ozzy ballads are good. Tonight is good.
No, they're terrible.
Or like Changes, the Sabbath songs. Those all are like similar
Beatles
songs.
So Tired is totally the Beatles. Songs.
Yeah, So Tired is totally trying to be the Beatles, which is funny.
Of course it is.
it's odd for Ozzy Osbourne to try to write a Beatles ballad, but I like it, though. It has a good melody.
Ozzy Osbourne in like 1983? This came out, I think. Like, how does this song fit on the same album as Bark at the Moon? It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't fit, but it wasn't without precedent for Ozzy to do a ballad like that. So I guess it didn't just completely come out of left field. But,
well, for me, when this song came out, I was like 10.
Yeah.
And I was getting into this stuff. So I wasn't, you know, a huge Black Sabbath fan at the time. Like, I got to Ozzy first, then went back. So this was the first Ozzy song that I was just like, what the hell is this garbage? And I knew you'd like it. I knew you liked this song.
Well, I mean, I don't put it on, you know.
I don't know when
the hell is the last time I listened to it, but I don't think it's a bad song, yeah. It was weird when Ozzy would have those songs. But, you know, he had Revelation, Mother Earth on the first album, and... But, you know, he's got those songs like that. So.
He does. And even those later albums, he always does too. But
well, Mama, I'm
this
coming
one,
home.
This one, yeah. This one really, yeah, it struck a nerve when I was a kid, and I've never let it go.
I know.
right, so that's the worst of Ozzy in the 80s. Thanks again, Brian, for indulging me.
Oh, always happy to come on and talk shit about artists I love.
Yeah.
Be back.